97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We are enjoying some donuts that are still warm. And I'm not sure that it gets much better than that. Thanks again to our friends at Donut Delight for dropping those off. Scott, appreciate you driving down here so early, my friend. Fantastic little treat for us and for our friend Tricia Siegman. There might be some left by the time she gets in here a little later today.
Well, that's the thing. That is the special occasion that we have donuts for, and that might be the problem. If she's getting here late enough, we may have eaten them all.
There are three boxes of donuts. We're not physically capable of eating all those donuts between now and then. So there will be plenty left. Again, appreciate Scott for driving us down here this morning. What a great guy. Listen, lots going on. We're going to get to Rick's Dream coming up, talking about elections. You've heard Kim talking about that in her newscast a little bit this morning. Early voting, so to speak, at least your ability to request a ballot for absentee voting starts today in Missouri. I think it's you can start early voting 2 days from now over in Illinois. I believe if I've read their Illinois Secretary of State webpage correctly, it's a very confusing webpage, by the way. But I believe they said early voting starts on the 26th in most areas in Illinois. So we'll talk to Rick Stream about the Missouri specifics coming up here at about 6:22 this morning. Then we're going to talk to John Lamping, former Missouri State Senator. Here's the thing. We finally got to see the decision the Missouri Supreme Court made on whether or not Amendment 3 should be on the ballot. Because in the opinion of at least three of the Missouri Supreme Court judges we now know who dissented in that case, it shouldn't be on the ballot. It violates state law. Unfortunately, there were four of them who weren't willing, didn't have the intestinal fortitude to make a stand, and therefore they voted that they weren't going to stop it at this point, even though it probably shouldn't be on the ballot. And we'll talk to our friend John Lamping about that this morning as well. But first, though, I want to get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Hang on, Mark. The mouse.
All right.
There we go.
It's the mouse.
It's no wonder that Kamala Harris was just officially endorsed by IRS agents. Do you believe it? That's one you'd say, I'd rather not have that endorsement.
Yeah, thank you. You don't want to be endorsed by the IRS. That's Kamala Harris. Those are her friends that are going to come after you when she gets elected, if she gets elected.
I just want you to know, okay, how I stand and how I stand today is that I do not support Harris for president.
Probably not the best TikTok imitation I've heard of Kami Harris, but it's pretty spot on. This is a TikToker. Oprah used her comment in that town hall last week with Kamala Harris, and she's not happy about it because she's not a Harris supporter.
Okay, final thought.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I was giving you time there. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us.
Way to go, Sandra Smith. Becomes, once again, right at the top of my favorite anchors at Fox because she tore up one of those Kamala Harris surrogates that they send out instead of Kamala Harris to do interviews. It's just unbelievable is what it is. Listen to this.
So the Biden administration just released the Assassin's Manifesto. They put a $150,000 bounty on Trump's head.
Yeah. What's the deal with that? Now, I know it was released as a part of court records, but didn't we have to wait a year to see the manifesto of the school shooter down in Nashville?
Well, and that was only revealed because somebody leaked
it. It
was a whistleblower who leaked
it. The feds would not release it because
right.
They didn't want to increase the possibility of a copycat.
Well, and because this person, that shooter in Nashville, was trans and was very open about hating white people, called them crackers. I mean, all the names were out there in the manifesto, and that's probably what they did not want revealed.
Didn't want to offend anybody or hurt any snowflakes or cause somebody else to go off their rocker and try to shoot up a school. But, hey, I got an idea. They don't mind if Donald Trump gets killed, apparently. So why don't we encourage a copycatter by pointing out that the nearly homeless man who tried to kill Donald Trump is offering a $150,000 bounty if he doesn't get the job done, please help. This is basically what the guy said, right? And I thought that Jesse Waters handled this very well last night by pointing out the fact that they did publish this, and what we learned, among other things, is what was motivating this Ruth guy. What do you think motivated him? Could it be the rhetoric of the left? Why, yes, I think it was.
Because he believed the former president was unfit and destructive to America's moral fabric. Does that sound familiar?
The American people must decide whether Donald Trump's assault on our democracy on January 6th makes him unfit for public office. I've been saying for now well over a year, he is not fit to serve. Donald Trump is not fit to be the job of president, to be the commander in chief. And he literally is putting to the test this invisible moral fabric.
Yeah.
No,
the
I agree.
Exact words that Joe Biden used over and over and over again in the letter describing why he was trying to kill Donald Trump. The exact words.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The rhetoric that the left has used against Donald Trump, I do believe, has incited some of this. Now, I'm not saying that Trump hasn't said certain things that arguably have been similar, but I don't think that it's the... Have they been similar? Maybe. But I think that the left has taken it a few steps farther. And it's I believe, driving people to want to kill Trump. It's the end of democracy. He's a threat to our country. Like that's serious language that they're using over and over and over again.
Yeah, but, you know,
Trump just calls people like a bird brain.
Going out and pointing out that the open border is poisoning the blood of America is a little different than claiming that, Kamala Harris is the leader of Venezuela. Or a dictator, or Karl Marx, or, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of difference there.
I agree. I think they both have probably said things, but I think the left, Kamala Harris, Biden, all those top Democratic leaders have taken it way too far. Hitler comparisons.
That's it. Like, here's the question. If you could go back in time, in a time machine, to the 1930s and take out Adolf Hitler and avoid what happened with the death of 6 million Jews, would you take that opportunity? Probably most people would say, yeah, that'd be a great idea. Let's do that. So if you now compare Donald Trump to somebody who killed 6 million people in a genocide, then you're also suggesting the same thing. You have an opportunity to take this guy out before he gets reelected. And that's exactly what they've accomplished. They accomplished exactly what they were after. And Waters reading that comment and then you hearing Joe Biden say the exact same words just drives it home.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I think things are only going to ramp up leading up to the election.
Well, yeah.
And even if Trump is elected, it's going to get real. It's going to get scary, I think.
I think you're right. Let's speaking of which, the election voting, technically, you can request an absentee ballot starting today in Missouri. We're going to get to St. Louis County Elections Director Rick Stream when we come back. Stay tuned.
Everyone will prosper. Every family will thrive. And every day will be filled with opportunity and hope. But for that to happen, we must defeat Comrade Kamala Harris. And we must stop her country-destroying liberal agenda once and for all. You must get out and vote. You have to get out and vote. Everyone here promised me I'll vote. We want a landslide that's too big to rig.
Yeah, that's Donald Trump yesterday in Pennsylvania talking about how important it is that people get out and vote. And in the state of Missouri, you can officially request an absentee ballot starting today. We've got Rick Stream with us, one of the election directors for St. Louis County Board of Elections. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you on this morning. Thanks for giving us a few minutes this early in the morning. So let's talk about absentee ballots. This is still the version where you have to have a reason to vote absentee, right?
That's correct. Today is the first day for absentee voting. People can come into our office between 8 and 4:30 and vote absentee. You have to have one of the reasons. There are six reasons there. So, and you can go to our website, stlouisvotesmo.gov, and find out all the reasons. But you have to. That starts today. All of the people who have requested an absentee ballot be mailed to them. Those ballots will be mailed out today. We're going to send out a batch of 19,000 ballots will be sent out today. So it begins today. And for the next 4 weeks, you can vote absentee at our office with an excuse. The last 2 weeks before the election is when early voting starts. It's no excuse absentee voting, and you don't have to have an excuse. And we'll have 14 satellite locations for that, too.
What are your expectations leading up to this election? Because I know that the voter turnout obviously is a lot bigger for a presidential election, especially maybe this one.
Sure. Yeah. 4 years ago, we had a record percentage turnout, 79.5%. So that's 540,000 voters who voted then. And we kind of expect the same thing this time around. The only difference will be in the manner in which they voted. We had 161,000 mailed ballots that year, plus 60,000 people who voted absentee in person. The mail ballots are going to be much less this time, but we're still going to have, I think, a big turnout. And we recommend that people vote early, either absentee in person or the early voting starting 2 weeks before the election. It's a long ballot this year. It's 20 inches long, the longest we've ever had, with an average of 45 issues per ballot. It's going to take a while in the polling place to vote. 2 to 3 weeks before the election, we send out our notice of election card, which has a sample ballot included. We recommend that people look at that sample ballot, mark it up at home, and bring that to the polling place so they can vote much quicker than normal.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So they can go vote absentee in person today? Did I understand
you? Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, that's a state law, 6 weeks before the election.
Or get it mailed out, and then it's late October before it's no excuse early voting.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, October, the double check here to make sure I get the right number. It's 2 weeks before, so it's
22nd, right?
22nd, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like my polling place that I go to is in a park, so it's not like I'm going there. I'm going to the board of, you know, I'm going to specific locations.
That's correct. We have 14 sites, two in each one of the county council districts, and you can go to our website again and look that up. But our office is one of them, of course.
Yeah.
But it's they're listed, and we expect a heavy turnout. And in fact, we encourage people to vote early because that lessens the number of people who will be crammed into our polling sites on Election Day.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, Rick, I know you're focused here on St. Louis County. Obviously, that's your job. People probably need to check with their election authority if they're in a different county and find out where those early voting sites are, right?
That's correct. It's usually at the election authority's office in some of those smaller counties around. St. Louis City, I think, has 5 to 10 different sites, but the Jefferson County, Franklin County, St. Charles County, they have different sites too. But it's less than we do, of course, because they have quite a few fewer people to vote. So,
yeah.
And of course, I'm always going to make a pitch to get more Republican poll workers. We need about 230 more because we're going to try to really staff up heavily at our locations on Election Day. So we need Republican poll workers,
good,
too.
Yeah, we'll reach out to St. Louis County Board of Elections if you're interested in that. Rick Stream, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mark, for having me.
You bet. Good information there this morning for you as we get ready for the most important election of our lifetime. There's so much on the line, it's really hard to comprehend. John Lamping, former Missouri State Senator, going to talk a little bit about that coming up. We'll be back in a minute. All right, welcome back. I could listen to that song all morning, Carl, so that's why I let the music roll.
Hey, but we're not on Facebook, so we could play the whole thing.
Yeah, we used to get dinged on Facebook if we let music play too long before getting into a segment. So one of the other advantages of being banned from going live on Facebook right now, I guess, is that very issue. So regardless, I want to get back and talk just a little bit more about what has gone on with the Supreme Court in the state of Missouri. Obviously, the election ballot is set now. Voting technically starts today for absentee ballots. And Amendment 3 is one of the most controversial amendments to hit Missouri's ballot in a long time. It probably shouldn't even be on there. But we finally got to see the breakdown in the vote by the Missouri Supreme Court. I've got former Missouri Senator John Lamping on the phone this morning. I want to talk to him about that. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mark and Kim. It's nice to be back with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for your time, as always. You know, I was surprised. I almost thought this would be unanimous, but clearly three of the judges on the Missouri Supreme Court agreed with most of us that this thing was not properly vetted before being put on the ballot.
Well, the concern is that the proposal is written so vaguely and that it'll impact so many different laws, and that the people that were giving up their signatures to put this on the ballot were not made aware of the fact that this would impact so many the law in so many different places. Now, obviously, that was on purpose. So the three judges that decided that it should come off felt that that was the most important issue. The idea is too that it's not taking up one subject, it's taking up multiple subjects, because what we know is that not only will it make us the most pro-choice state in the country, it also will impact reproductive health, i.e. Gender surgery for younger children, and that's certainly not made clear in the proposal. The four judges that voted to continue forward, I think they essentially were legislating from the bench. They didn't want to upend this powerful juggernaut that is this amendment, and they felt that the precedent wasn't there when they certainly could have set the precedent to take it down.
I'm so disappointed. I mean, I knew millions of dollars would flow in. I was sitting watching the TV with my mom for a few minutes last night on Channel 4. She was watching the news, and I swear sometimes twice in a single commercial break there were pro-Amendment 3 ads running over and over and over ad nauseum. It's incredible the amount of outside dark money that's being spent on this by Planned Parenthood and others.
Well, there's a lot of praying going on. It's going to take a miracle for this not to pass. The pro-amendment side will outspend the pro-life side in some estimates almost 10-1. The point I'd like to make, though, and this is very relevant, I think, on a go-forward basis, when we decide to pick those that might represent us, is the absolute silence of all of our Republican political leaders. You know, when Eric Schmidt and Josh Hawley and Mike Parson and Mike Kehoe and Andrew Bailey, when they run for office, they tell us that they'll be our champions, they'll be our fighters, they'll be there with us. And they are dead silent on this issue. There's not a one of them that has come out and said anything. Josh Hawley's come out and said he's against it because of the gender reassignment surgery. But what's happened is these are politicians. They're being told that this is going to pass by at least 55-45, if not more. And so none of them are willing to stand up and take a stand and come out and forcefully be against Amendment 3. They're all just going to hide and encourage Trump to be successful and then allow Missouri to become the most pro-choice state in the country.
That's really disappointing to hear about Hawley, because I thought I had heard he was one of the only ones who had spoken out against it. But you're saying, no, he's just specifically speaking to the part about the gender transition surgery, which is awful. I mean, yes, I don't agree with that either. But yeah, these people need to be more outspoken about it. And we shouldn't support those candidates who aren't outspoken about it. I actually just got a notification from Missouri Right to Life, I believe yesterday, saying that they were needing more volunteers, whether it be calling people, going door to door. I wonder how effective that will be. I imagine a lot of people, depending on where you're going door to door, are going to have the door slammed in their face, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, yes, of course, we need all hands on deck. We need as many people to help as they can, as many donations as we can get. So the fight is still to be had. But again, my point is you've got political leaders who they themselves create these campaigns. They organize tens and thousands of people to support them. They have email lists. They have financial resources. They have the ability to go up on and do commercials. And can you imagine how powerful it might be if all of our Republican leaders came out on a television ad and said, look, this is way too extreme, that this will make us the most pro-choice state in the country. If they actually did all of that, that might be our best chance to succeed. But the opposite of that is happening. They're all running away from the issue. None of them will even talk about the issue. And I just think that what we're looking at in Missouri Republican Party is a remaking of what the party will be going forward. We will be the most pro-choice state, and it's going to be in our Constitution. And so that means only through the courts or through a constitutional amendment can it actually be changed. And we've governed for 20-plus years in the majority, supermajority in most cases, where the plank in the platform was to be the most pro-life state, and that will be just the opposite of that. It's going to make for very interesting party dynamics as we go forward. I think there's little doubt that we'll lose our supermajorities over time because we will have lost, you know, kind of this whole idea of us being the moral majority. Well, clearly that's we're not campaigning and running as a party that believes that a majority of people hold themselves to high moral standards.
I cannot agree more. John, we appreciate your time, my friend. Have a good week.
Oh, great being with you, Sue. Take care.
Thank you very much. John Lamping, former Missouri senator. You know, I'm putting together the voter guide right now, so I decided it would probably, as I always do, by due diligence, read through this amendment again. I looked through the initiative petition when it was first being circulated. The TV ads I watched on TV last night are bold-faced lies. You have to understand that. The wording of Amendment 3 is unambiguous. It says, it tries to deceive you by claiming that the legislature can go in and make some restrictions on the point of viability. But the very next segment says, under no circumstances will the government interfere with an abortion if the medical provider decides it's necessary for the physical or mental well-being of the patient. That's the only out they need. You don't have to be a guardhouse lawyer to understand that. They will allow abortion up to the moment of birth if the woman's doctor decides that it's okay. There's
evil.
No way around it.
That is pure evil. And by the way, can I just say, because I feel very passionate about this, get out of here with the lie that this restricts your ability to get a DNC if you have a miscarriage. Do not listen to it, because I have had people who are extremely liberal and who are all about abortion up until birth, and they'll sit there and tell you that to scare the living crap out of you, for lack of a better word, into voting for this. A lie. You will get care for a miscarriage. Even though abortion is not legal in our state.
Reproductive health care does not mean murder is okay. But what this does is turn reproductive health care into a vessel for murder in the state of Missouri. Go in and read the petition. Read what it says, particularly subsection 4, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's just unambiguous. They can do whatever they want once this becomes law. Murdering babies at 8, 9 months, they'll be able to do it. It says it right there. We're going to be back in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
it looks like 8 of the largest movie theater chains in the U.S. and Canada, including AMC, Regal Cinemas, and some others, plan to invest over $2.2 billion over the next 3 years to upgrade their theaters. The improvements will include modernizing the theaters with laser projection technology, immersive sound systems, more comfortable seating, and adding family entertainment options like arcades and bowling. Apparently, they're doing this to try to compete with like Netflix and the home streaming.
Yeah.
Something to get you out of the
house. You need
to
make it an experience if somebody's going to do that. And I think places like B&B have done that to an extent.
They have bowling.
Well, I mean, they've got the games, but they've also got a nice bar where you can go. You'll overpay for it, but you can go get a drink, and you can carry it to your seat.
Right.
And you got the big recliners. I mean, I think they've moved in the right direction.
The one thing I hate the most, though, is when they're letting you like bring a hamburger in there, like when they're serving you meals in there.
Kind yeah, because like you see the people walking in front of you. It's a cool concept. It is kind of nice knowing you can order food from your seat and you just hit a little button that lights up.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of annoying if you're not.
Right.
Yeah. I really wanted to go, Warrenburg.
See, she kind of knows it.
She does.
We again, bets. Didn't know if
we
Kim
took
would
bets
know.
Whether Kim would know that. But she didn't hear that one. She heard the newer one. That's why you didn't hear the Warrenburg.
So it looks like Microsoft has signed a 20-year deal to revive the Three Mile Island nuclear plant that was shut down in 2019 to power its AI data centers. If approved, Microsoft will have exclusive access to the plant's full 837-megawatt output when it reopens in 2028. The plant, now renamed the Crane Clean Energy Center, is known for the 1979 incident that led to a partial reactor meltdown.
So. Wow, they're going to allow them to reopen it?
There was one open until 5 years ago.
I was saying, it wasn't fully shut down, apparently.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they just ran out of money. And so now Bill Gates is opening one just to power his computers.
I'll bet the green people hate that, man. They hate nuclear energy, too. It's crazy.
Yeah, isn't he part of that? So it's like, does he do? He's going to do it or not? That.
He'll fly one of his four jets over there and battle him over it. Go ahead.
So starting next year, people can self-administer a flu vaccine at home thanks to the FDA's approval of Flu Mist. It's a nasal spray version of the flu vaccine, and while it doesn't require a healthcare provider to administer, it still needs a prescription. So this is going to offer a needle-free option for flu prevention.
And it's just $742.
No, it's free because your tax dollars are paying for it, but everyone thinks it's free.
Thank you.
This is a terrible idea. I do not think you should be self-administering these things. I don't care if you're shooting it up your nose or shooting it in your arm. I don't think
COVID's
you should be
next.
Doing this. Come on. Well, I'm sure it is.
Monkeypox vaccine is next.
And
I don't do it. I don't do Ozempic.
I heard they're trying to make Ozempic into a chewable.
Wow.
Your gummy of Ozempic.
Kind of.
Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic?
How many calories is it? That's a question you have to ask, right? Coming up, our friend Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First, and we're going to get to 2A Tuesday with Mark Walters, who has a new skill he surprised me with yesterday. We're going to get to that for you at about 7:37. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.